You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any announcements? Okay, we'll go with the scripture reading. It's in John today, chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
All right. Well, today we're going to have a one-off sermon on the fact of Jesus' death. Some of the things that it means to us, and I'll contextualize it in a certain way to bring out ideas to do with healing. This past week has been pretty interesting for us with the motion of the course of the semester, and sometimes you just wake up and you realize, oh man, it's just about done, and here I've got all this work to cover. So you've always got to be careful with that when you're teaching, that you complete your curriculum, and so it's exciting to see students come in, learn, and then to realize that they're coming to that point in their life where they've got to move to the next stage, and some of them are really making some good progress, and it's nice to see that. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together to open the scriptures and learn more about thy holy word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, up here, the Messiah must die. And you might say, well, that's, of course it's true. Well, you know, that is something that a lot of people are trying to convince others of, that it was indeed something that had to happen, that Messiah, the prophesied Messiah, the Messiah that was taught to the Jewish people, that Messiah was prophesied that he must die. And there are interesting missions going on at the moment in Israel, for example, that are taking this wonderful proclamation to the Jews today. There's some really phenomenal passages which relate to this in the scriptures. And just some of them we should look at. This one, these passages from 2 Samuel are really interesting, where it talks about David and how that he went through some interesting priestly duties, and that he was a man who, while sinful, while fallen, was typical. He had a place of type in relationship to the Messiah. And so Jesus is the prophesied priestly king. And if you come down here, let's just look at a couple of these. Let's look at Zechariah. I want you to find the passage in Zechariah, which is chapter 6, just so that you get a little bit of context here for the message. So in Zechariah chapter 6, you get this wonderful prophecy which relates to the branch. And the branch is one of those expressions which very few people are going to doubt is a reference to the Messiah. So if you look at Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Isn't this interesting? He's going to build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. And notice this, a priest upon his throne. We often talk about Messiah as being the king. Yes, he is. But do you know that he is to be the priest upon his throne? The priest. Very significant. And it goes on and it says, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Now, I want you to, there's some other really interesting passages, but I want you to go across to Hebrews 9. Okay, in the interest of time, let's just go across to Hebrews. And in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, we have a tremendous passage which relates to this, this priestly function of Messiah. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, just back up a little bit. It says this in verse 9. It says this, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. And notice the conscience here is dealt with. This is a great thing about what happened with Christ, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them unto the time of reformation. But Christ being come and high priest, here it is, Christ. Who is Christ? He is Messiah. He is the anointed one. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now notice the picture. He is the priest, but he enters in with his own blood. This is the fantastic thing that must be seen. That Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, he must be a priest, he must be a king, and he sits on his own throne. Yes, he sits on his own throne as a priest who entered into the Holy of Holies with his own blood, which means, of course, that he had to have died. He must die. Messiah must die. If you have a Messiah who says, I will never die, well, then you know that's not the true Messiah. Messiah must die. He must do this. And there's some tremendous truths about this which I would like to look at. If you go across to John 20, you find the account of Mary Magdalene who comes to the sepulchre. And this is early in the morning. It's a tremendous passage. And I think it's always interesting how it is that certain individuals from history seem to be the ones who come and observe things to do with Christ. And they're recorded. Mary Magdala. Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. So she runs away from this situation, and she comes to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which is very likely to be John. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. So the fact of Jesus' death is self-evident right here. He died, and his body was put into the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene saw this, saw that the stone had been taken away and the body had been removed, and comes back with this news. John and Peter, hearing this from her, verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. Well, who was the faster runner? Well, it looks like John was the faster runner. And it goes down here, and it says in verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. It's interesting how these details are given here. That there's a separation of the linen. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, that's John, the one who outrun Peter, he got there first, and he saw and believed. He saw and believed. It's a very interesting statement about belief. And it goes on in verse 9, for as yet, look at this, and this is very, very significant, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. They knew not that scripture. They didn't know it. Here, John sees it and he believes. And the explanation for this, why this is significant, is explained by John himself, the writer of this. For as yet they knew not, they, so he includes the others as well, they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Man, guess what? We need to know the scriptures. You know? We need to know the scriptures. And we need to know them, we need to believe them. And it goes on, it says in verse 10, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. And you can imagine the reasoning that must have gone on. And as you read through all this, finally the Lord does appear, and they all end up being believers. Even Thomas, right? They all end up believing. But they have to go through some process, right? There has to be a process of learning here, because they do not know the scripture that says that he must rise from the dead. Now I want to look at this, this Messiah, you know, Messiah is a fantastic subject, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, and look at it from the point of the healer, right, the healer. Tremendous healing comes from Christ. And the way that the healing is manifested is in all different forms and facets. Just as we use the word to heal, the verb to heal, we use it in all sorts of different contexts and different ways. Many of us might get sick. I don't know of anyone that goes through their life and doesn't get sick at some stage. I do know that there are some people who, for whatever circumstance, the immune system must be such, so good, that they seldom get sick. But I don't know of anyone that lives to any kind of reasonable age that does not get sick or has not got sick at some stage in their life. You get a cold, you get a flu, you get something, right? Everyone seems to get sick at some stage. Now, I'll give you some truth here about me. I'm very susceptible to the flu. I am, man. I'm bad. I mean, when I was living in New Zealand, there are times, man, when I get the flu, and, man, I'd have to go to work, because you just can't keep away forever, right? How long? You're going to wait and wait and wait? No, you got to get in there and study. You got to go attend lectures, because this was the time when I was doing my studies. So you just have to go. And then you get home, and you're exhausted, and you just jump in the sack. No energy, man, no energy. Well, this is something that happened. Of course, I got married, and Seppi was very interested in health, and so I ended up changing my diet to a large extent. And while I still am pretty susceptible to the flu, nothing like I used to be. And that was through taking a change in health.
which is food, looking upon food as basically medicine. Look at food. Change your view of food. Food is medicine. And when you start to think like that, well, then you take a second thought about what you put in the mouth, right? You start to think a little bit differently about what you're going to eat. And so that's what happened to me. Now, as I say, I'm still susceptible to the flu. I am. I can still get it. Now, if I get run down, man, I can get it bad. But look at this. This is absolutely fascinating. This is very fascinating. This has to do with a particular king. And this is King Asa. And what he did was, you can read the account. I would advise you to read the whole of chapter 16. But it's all about how he went to war against the king of Israel. And he basically, instead of trusting on God, what he did was he really went off and tried to do things in the flesh. And this is what it says in verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. Oh man, disease in your feet. I don't know what kind of disease this was. But it's obviously a physical thing, right? It has to do with his feet, and there was a disease in there. Until his disease was exceeding great. I don't know what kind of disease that would be, but maybe the toes start to fall off or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord. Now, this is typical of Asa in the account, right? He didn't go to the Lord for help in the war that he was involved with. And similarly here, what does he do? He doesn't first of all think of the Lord his God. He doesn't do that. Instead, what does he do? He sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. To the physicians. The outcome of this you need to read, because he dies of the disease, right? Which would mean, as far as I can imagine, my brain just, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to picture all sorts of things in my head. You know, succumbing to a disease starting from your feet sounds grotesque, man. But he eventually succumbs to this thing. He does not, first of all, consider the Lord his God, but rather he goes to the physicians. Now, John's gospel is very fascinating. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John's gospel talks about the world and talks in many, many different ways about the world, and it's not always good. In many cases, his references to the world shows you the course of this world and what the world is about. And let me just say to you, we have learned something about this world that we're in and this age in which we live. And we have to say that man, the physicians, have been compromised. If there's one thing we've learned from what's happened with this COVID thing, is that the physicians of this world have sold us out. I don't mean all of them, okay? Just like John, when he talks about the world, it doesn't mean to say every single individual in the world had sold out. But you have to say that a significant number of the physicians of this world would rather that we die than stand up for what's right and give us the therapeutics that we need. They would say, oh no, you're not going to have that. You're not going to, you know, I've got to watch my words. We'll call that hamburgers. They wouldn't give them the hamburgers that they need, right? And we have to talk like this for reasons that are sickening, right? It shows you the kind of society we've got. They wouldn't give them hamburgers that they needed. Rather, what would they do? Oh, we'll put them on ventilators until they die. Right? That's what's happened, friends. It's incredible what's happened. In Exodus 15 and 26, look what it says about the Lord. Okay, this is talking about, now, you know who I am, man. I am a total believer in the Bible rightly divided. When I see Jesus, I see him as the great healer. Yes, he still is the great healer, because that context of healing is so huge, isn't it? I mean, it has to do with all sorts of things that are important for our future, like being healed by being brought out of the grave, man. And we want that. That's the biggest healing. Exodus 15:26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is the God of Israel. This is how God dealt with Israel. You be obedient to me. Look what I'm doing to the other nations, man. Look what I'm doing. I'm bringing all kinds of diseases on them. And I ain't healing them. This is in comparison to what's going on with Egypt. And he is the God that healeth Israel. But here, it's conditional. You've got to believe, man. You've got to obey. You've got to take my precepts seriously. Very interesting. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Here comes the great physician, God manifest in the flesh, and here he is, the healer. Here he is, doing all these miraculous things. Look at the word here. Here's the participle, therapeuon. You can see the word therapy in there, can you not? Here he is, the one with the therapy. He came with the equivalent of the hamburgers. The ones that we were not given by the physicians of this world. Acts 28, another context. A context that we know about. Knowing about the nation of Israel. And it says at the end here, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Yasomai. Altus. I should heal them. You see, the Yatros is the doctor, is the physician. And here God would deal to these people as a doctor and he would heal them if they would just listen. But no, they would not listen. Here's a very interesting statement in Luke 4:23. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Physician, iatre, therapeuson seauton. Physician, heal thyself. Commandment. In the context, this has to do, when it says this proverb, heal thyself, it has to do with the context of his own country. And after this, he says that, you know, that a person, the prophet, is not accepted in his own country, right? Heal yourself. In that context, it's about the healing in your own country. You think about this in a more sort of a spiritual application that's going on today. Physician, heal thyself. And in the context where a prophet is not accepted in his own country, you see, you look at the nation of the United States and how it began and how there was great belief in the Bible, the great belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then a turning away from this, right, so that a prophet is not accepted in his own country. You have to say that in the past, I think there was a great, tremendous blessing come on this country because of obedience to the Scriptures, because of obedience to the commission to preach the Word of God. But today what's going on is we've got a movement away from this. And that the great healer, the ultimate healer, who is Messiah who died to heal everybody is being rejected. Right? That's what's going on. Look at this. Lord's words. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. My friends, we've got a very sick country. Very sick. It's sick because it's put itself into a position of rejecting truth in a larger sense and in a particular sense. In the particular sense of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And in a general sense also. Truth now is hard to proclaim. It's hard even to find. Do you notice that? Truth, man. We're supposed to be able to speak about anything in our universities. We're supposed to be able to speak about what's right and what's wrong from your perspective, even if it's wrong. Even if it's wrong. Hey, I went to a university, University of Auckland in New Zealand. Not necessarily the kind of university that would be friendly to Christians. All right? No. When I was there, man, there were atheists and there were Marxists. There were all sorts of people. But you know what? Even though that is the case, they never got away with it. You know why? Because we actually endorsed free speech. With all our problems, we did. We endorsed free speech. And on campus, yeah, these guys and gals would get up there and talk about their communism. And then what would happen? As soon as that person got down, another person would get up. Yeah, and you've murdered 12 million people. What about that? And eventually, the truth comes out. The truth comes out. We can't even speak about things from our own point of view. Can't we be wrong? Are you going to stop us from speaking our mind? Are you going to stop us from discussing things? It's from this to and fro that truth comes out. Right? Look at this. Now, let's look at this thing here. Right? Right division. Truth, man. You see, I can read those Old Testament passages which talks about the Lord being the healer. And I can understand that. I can allow Scripture to be put in its place, and I can get spiritual truths, and I can see what happened in history and why. Look what Paul says this. This is now after Acts 28. Now, when I say after Acts 28, you know what I mean. Because I really mean it. I mean after Acts 28. I don't mean in Acts 28. Okay, after Acts 28, this is what Paul says to Timothy. Drink no longer water. Water's hard to get come by. You notice that. Have you seen the sheet that comes out and is released once a year, I believe, by various authorities in Norman? Now, wherever you live is different, so you'll get your own. But in Norman, they release a list of chemicals that are in the wells from where the water is brought into Norman. You need to look at that thing, man. I mean, it looks like a war zone with chemical spills going in all directions. We're talking about uranium. We're talking about all manner of chemicals that are just, you just shock you to know what's in the water in these wells. How did it get there? Well, in some cases, I don't want to get into details. You can imagine, right? Because we have toiletries, right? And there are people who take various medications for cancer. And some of these medications have all kinds of stuff in there, chemicals, which are pretty nasty, including radioactive sources. That eventually gets into the groundwater. And eventually, guess what? You drink it. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine. I just like to point out a little word. A little word. Little. And this is not a license to get drunk. What is mankind, man? Yeah, man, anything we can major on to get what we want, what we really want. But use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmity. Now, just emphasize, okay? Oligo. Yeah, it's not made up. It is actually, there's a Greek word for it. a little wine. In other words, Paul is saying, okay, you need some medicine for your illnesses, and this medicine happens to be a little wine. Okay? It's not an excuse to get smashed. Second Timothy 4:20. Oh, look where these passages coming from. Wait a minute. This one, 1 Timothy. After Acts 28. 2 Timothy. After Acts 28. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. I, Paul, left him at Miletum sick. Wait a minute. Why didn't he lay hands on him and demanded God to give him perfect wholeness and healing? No, he left him there sick. Interesting, don't you think? Things are changing, right? Things are changing. Things are changing because there's a different administration, a different economy began. And that's why at this church we believe in the teaching of right division. If you are sick, I will pray to God for you. Do I believe that God could do a miracle on you? Yes! I believe in miracles today. I believe God could do it. But guess what? I do not have the gift of healing as the disciples did, as the apostles did, as many believers in the book of Acts and after did. I don't have that. Why? Because there's been a change. There's a change in administration after Paul received the mystery. And so, I may have to leave you in Edmund sick. Right? I may have to leave you in Norman sick. But guess what I'll do? I'll tell you, don't drink too much of that water. I'll say to you, make sure you get your food right. Don't eat garbage and expect that your body is going to respond to that and say, oh, thanks for that garbage. I really like that. Do you remember seeing that Ratatouille movie? You know, eat your garbage. Now, after saying this, right, I want to point out this. Okay, I want to point you to the fact that sometimes you have to do your own homework to get to what's going on. I don't say that everything you're going to find is going to be 100% true. But at least you're going to get an alternative. You need to get some alternatives about health and medication and what's going on. Are you just going to roll up your sleeve and let some dude just jab some stuff in there when you don't even know what's in it? Do you know what's going to do to you? Do you know what it's going to do to you? And when it does the bad stuff to you, do you think these doctors that gave you the jab are going to come running? Oh, how can I help? No. They're going to do nothing, man. You need to find out what's going on. There are, fortunately, as I said to you, while it's true that many doctors have let us go to our own devices or worse, there are some who have stood by us. And they need to be protected. Do you know what I'm saying? You remember the Apostle Paul, he had minders, right? The brethren were minders and made sure that he made it out of the town and got his way to Athens to get some security. Those people who are standing by the stuff and are giving us their best at their own personal cost, and sometimes that means losing their job, their reputation, everything. You need to at least mind them. This is where you can get some hamburgers. You know that. You can get hamburgers here. And you just need to go here and look at this very carefully, and you'll pay some fee to talk to one of these doctors, and they will prescribe you hamburgers. More information. These are qualified people. And they'll give you some different points of view. Does that mean that you have to just believe everything? No, of course not. You are open. You're going to weigh things up, right? You're going to check things out for yourself, man. Media is difficult. This is very good. My experience with this kind, this sort of media here, give you a totally different point of view, man. Very good stuff. Information that you need to find out about what's going on. Movies to look at. Does it mean that every single element of everything's completely correct? No. But there's some material in here you need to view, man. This is one of them. Yeah. You can see it for free. You don't have to pay any money to see it. This one also. All right. Some of you have seen this. These are important things to be able to check up for yourself. Check them out for yourself, man. So when Christ came, he came to die and to rise again the third day that we could be healed. God is the God of healing. Yes, he will give you this greater healing. He promised healing to the nation of Israel when they would be obedient. The Lord brought healing. Today, my friends, if you get sick, what we have got to do is, number one, pray to God first. We learn that from Asa, right? We pray to God first. God would do a miracle in your life if you got something really bad. But in the end, we may have to leave you at Trophimus, you know, as Trophimus was, at Miletum, sick. It may happen that way, right? May happen. But we'll look around and we'll use our brains and we'll look around for the best treatment we can find. Right? That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray hard. Jesus' death on the cross at Calvary has brought tremendous healing to us. And it's meant that we can obey the scriptures and do things that are appropriate for this age. Understand the Bible rightly divided. And bring on the resources that we can to help us in time of need. Let's use our brains for people. God has given us a brain. Let's use it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. All right? Okay, well, there's more to say on this, but I hope this is going to be of good practical use to you as well, right? These hamburgers, you need to find out about them. There's a lot of good stuff there. Okay, let's pray. Oh God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've got together. And we thank Thee, oh Father, that we have freedom here at this church to open up the Scriptures and learn more and more about the Holy Word of God, that we can rightly divide it and understand what to expect, Lord, from Thy purposes and Thy great will, which is being worked out at the present time. We ask, Lord, that we'd stand by the stuff, that we'd be strong to open our mouths as we should do and use our brains in the right way, that we'd rightly divide the word of truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.